It's Sunday, October 2nd, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
Podcasting almost live.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
Welcome to the Everything Digital Podcast. Yes, it has been a long time. I'm not even gonna go into that. I still do have a bit of a cold, as I mentioned on the site a couple days ago. I actually originally planned to do this show Friday, but had a cold. Still have a cold a bit, so I may cough once in a while. I'll try to catch the pause record button before I go into a coughing fit, but I can't promise anything. So I'm back after way too long without a show, and let's go ahead right into those five second news headlines. The FCC has given voice over IP providers more time to ensure that their customers are aware that they do not provide access to 911 services. Google is planning to triple the number of web pages that it can index, gaining a hefty advantage over top competitor Yahoo Search. Microsoft recently released Office 2003 Service Pack 2 with increased stability, improved junk mail handling, and phishing protection. AMD has announced three new 64-bit dual-core chipsets, dubbed the Opteron 880, 280, and 180, and designed for use in business servers. Sony Ericsson says it is having trouble providing enough of its new Walkman W800 music phones to meet the rising demand in Europe. And those are just the short headlines. There are, as always, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. All right, so first thing on the agenda today, and this is something, a couple things, actually, that have been really exciting developments in Apple's new product announcements in the past couple of weeks. And I say the past couple of weeks because I haven't done a podcast in the past couple of weeks. So we're going to review a little bit. I did put up a post on everythingdigital.org about this probably about a week ago, just sort of recapping some of the events that have happened with Apple, the iPod Nano, iTunes version 5, and the Rocker iTunes music phone. So I'll just review my opinion on those real quick here, but check out the site, everythingdigital.org, scroll down a bit, and you should see the article that I wrote, a week or so ago, which, really sums up my point of view on the issue. But just to, do a little summary here, first of all, the iPod Nano, really what I think is going to be a hit product. This thing is small. It's thinner than a pencil, almost as small as a shuffle, and has a full color screen. The screen looks like it has everything that is on the regular iPod screen, except everything's smaller because the resolution's higher. I think it's really going to be a hit. It's a shame it had to replace the Mini line because that was doing really well for Apple and that was, really popular. But it's, I'm sure they're going to sell, these will probably outsell the Minis, in time. But I know I've heard people say, you know, you don't be prepared to pick one up without being prepared to buy it. I think that's what David Pogue said in the New York Times about the new release. So I think really going to be a hit product and a new revolution in the iPod line. Not that you need any more revolutions there, but hopefully going to help Apple help Apple in the iPod sector, but not that they need any help there. They've already got like 70% of the industry. But I don't know. I haven't actually touched one in person or felt one in my hand, but I have seen one, just caught a glimpse of one, and it did look pretty impressive. So that's the... Oh, boy. That's the iPod Nano. Let's see. What else here? iTunes 5. It's okay. It's not great. It's nothing revolutionary. It's an iTunes update. The thing that kind of bugged me at first, but I'm sort of getting used to it, is when you minimize it, you know how iTunes goes into that little player window where it's basically just a play button, fast forward, rewind, and a little display, kind of like an iPod, almost. It turns it a little mini iPod on your screen. That display, it used to be pretty small. It tucked down in the corner of your screen pretty nicely. But the new version is bigger and doesn't actually display a whole lot more. It incorporates two lines of information about what's playing instead of shuffling every bit of information through one line. Other than that, it shows the amount of time you are into the song and the amount of time left. But it's not a whole lot better for the extra size that it took on. And I'm getting used to it, but the different look is a little weird. And especially for something that really I keep on my screen all the time, it's really important that it be small. So that changed a bit. Also, there's some new features. I won't go over too many of them here. There's Smart Shuffle, Playlist Folders, a couple other interesting developments, but check out the site for those. Now, on to the Rocker iTunes phone, and this is one of my favorite things to talk about because it's so bad. I mean, for the amount of news and rumors and speculation and media frenzies and everything that this product has spurred over the past couple of months, it really isn't all that good. It's, I believe it takes 30 seconds to transfer one 4 megabyte music file. Yeah, that means it takes 50 minutes to transfer 100 songs, which is all that it can hold. So the device can only hold 100 songs, which means you're going to be wanting to refresh that playlist quite a bit. But whenever you want to refresh it, it's going to cost you 50 minutes. So, yeah, I don't know what was going on in the Motorola people's, and I guess Apple was pretty involved in this too. Don't know what was going on in their heads when they were going, oh yeah, yeah, 30 seconds a song, people will be fine with that. They can wait. I think an iPod takes like two. Yeah, so not the best, and especially for all the hype that it has generated. I wouldn't recommend buying it. Of course, I haven't seen one in person. But based on the specs, and even, I mean, on Motorola's site, that's like a feature. It's 30 seconds to transfer one 4 megabyte music file. Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, really? So, yeah, I don't know what went on there, but not exactly what I was expecting it to be. As I said, see everythingdigital.org, scroll down a bit, and you can find the full article. There's also a link in the show notes to the article, so you can check that out on your own. Oh, I'm not using the cough button at all. I should use that more. Okay, so next thing, this is actually also a little bit of Apple news here. There was some problems with the iPod Nano. Despite its good looks and small size, it did have some problems right out of the box. First thing is the screen scratches a lot. apparently from people who have used it, people are saying it scratches much easier than the regular iPod and much more than should be normal. So apparently the screen and the back of it, but mostly the screen just gets, any particles that come into contact with it have a very high potential of scratching it. But the more devastating thing here is that some customers are complaining that the Nano screen cracks too easily. So it actually like splits in half. I mean, almost. Actually, it has a crack run down the screen, and I guess if you put enough pressure on it, would crack in half. Apple said on Wednesday that it would replace any defective Nanos, claiming that the problem has occurred in less than 0.1% of all iPod Nanos sold. They said, quote, "It is a real but minor issue involving vendor quality problems, and that users with defective screens should contact Apple and they will be replaced." Apple says, quote, "It is not a design issue." I'm sure it's not. Maybe they just made it a little too thin, tried a little too hard. Now, I'm not really sure what's going on there, but definitely an issue, even though it's only in 0.1%. That's still a lot of iPod Nanos, because I'm sure they are just walking out the door. So we'll see if this issue persists. If it really is a vendor quality error, as Apple is saying, and doesn't have to do with the design, then it should be resolved fairly quickly. We won't have to worry about it. SanDisk has got a new idea for the music industry. It's called the Groovy Music Card, and they're saying it's a possible alternative to CDs. It's basically a flash memory card, and it's about as big as your fingernail, and it's designed to play on mobile phones, MP3 players, and computers like any other flash memory card. It can store other files in addition to music. It is currently available for around $40, which seems a bit much for a CD. but still, record companies are interested in releasing music on Groovy and other trusted flash format cards. The record companies say they could sell a bass album for $40 on a card, which would be extremely expensive. Of course, you are also buying the amount of memory that is on the card, so you are basically buying a flash card also if you have another use for it. However, they say that they will then charge an extra fee for other content to fill up the rest of the card. Does that mean the card is going to be locked for all content except that which you buy from the record company? That could be a big ripoff. So let's think about this. These things completely replace CDs. You go into a music store, or what would be called a CD player, or a CD player, a CD store. Now it's called like a Groovy store, sure. You go into this Groovy store, and they've got all these flash memory cards all across the aisles in bright packaging and CD album covers, just like regular CDs. And you want to buy 5 albums. Uh-huh. $200. Yeah. You pay your $200. You get, what do you get? You get 5 albums and you get 5 memory cards. Do you really want 5 memory cards? No, you probably want one good high capacity memory card if you're going to buy a memory card. And if you're going to buy an album, you probably don't want to buy an album for $40. So, don't know what they're thinking here. But I think if this current price point and business model persists, I don't think it's going to be very popular. Of course, you can buy the cards just by themselves right now for $40 if you're looking for a memory card and want one that's optimized for music. Not really sure what that means, but okay. We do need something to replace CDs at some point because they are an aging technology, and we do ideally would be something that you can just plug into your phone or, you know, anything, and it will act like a CD, except be a lot smaller. But ideally, it would be at a completely different price point and have a completely different idea behind it than allowing the record companies to sell extra content for it. So, got some Podsafe music for you here. This is from GarageBand.com. This is from Moose Sweden. This is Shimmerin' Light on the Everything Digital Podcast. Is Shimmering Light from Moose Sweden. Okay, so next item here on the agenda is, well, I have a sponsor, sort of. Actually, they're sponsoring the site, but I like to mention them in the show anyway. sponsors Vendetta Online. They're a massively multiplayer online role-playing game, or also called MMORPG, or MMO, whatever you want to call it. I don't know why they had to make the term so long. But anyway, talking about this MMO specifically, Vendetta Online, it's sort of a... it's all played out in space. You're in your ship. You can interact with other people who are in their ships, dock at stations, you know, have battles in asteroid fields. Pretty cool stuff. And some really great guys who are working on it behind the scenes. So I encourage you to check it out, vendetta-online.com. There's a free 8-hour trial there. If you sign up, put Everything Digital Podcast as who sent you there, who referred you. That way they'll know that you're coming from the Everything Digital Podcast. Also, you can check out everythingdigital.org. There's a little free trial link on the right-hand side of the page where you can go straight to their site. And if you do that, they also know that you're coming from Everything Digital. Okay, so next news item on the agenda is that BlackBerries are, in the future, planning to use Intel chips. Yes, they're following Apple's example, and BlackBerry Maker Research in Motion, or RIM, said future BlackBerry models will use a new Intel cellular chipset. This new chipset would run on an edge network, providing broadband-like speeds in a mobile environment. RIM co-chief executive Mike Lazaridis said next-generation BlackBerries will incorporate increased browser speeds and aid a push into new markets. The new chipset will also supposedly be more more developer-friendly. Lazaridis also said developers want to use the BlackBerry for more than just email functions. RIM says Intel chips will boost speed without lessening battery life. And don't we wish that that could happen to the PowerBook line as well? Hopefully coming in the future from Apple as well. Two companies that switched to Intel chips, and we'll see how they both do. But interesting that BlackBerry is trying to expand beyond just the email. Now, of course, they've always been able to do other things, but to set a focus to other things is different, because the prime, the center of every BlackBerry, how many licks does it take to get to the center of every BlackBerry? The center of every BlackBerry in the past has been this push email functionality, where you push a button and all your email is there. So kind of moving away from that into a browser environment, more internet applications, things like that, it's interesting and kind of goes along with the fact that email is actually getting kind of old. It's becoming an older technology. It's still extremely useful, but yes, it has been a couple years now. Now it's been more than that. But maybe branching into instant messenger functionality, things like that, voice over IP stuff. You know, there's so many other places it can go. It's interesting that they're kind of shifting the focus a little bit into, we don't know which places they're going to branch out into, which types of technologies, but it should be interesting, especially since those BlackBerries have really gained popularity in the past years, so we'll see what they can do. Dell has modified their XPS line, added a couple models. I'll just give you the rundown here. Of course, their XPS line is their high-end, top-of-the-line. You can basically you can get them with everything, and they can be as high as $6,000. So, yeah, really high-end side of the Dell lineup, which of course is about the equivalent of the low end of the Mac lineup, right? So, they released the XPS 200, 400, and 600 desktop PCs, starting at $1,099, and they are bundled with a 17-inch LCD monitor, and contain dual-core Intel processors, an NVIDIA graphics card, and up to 1 terabyte of hard drive space. That is a whole lot of hard drive space. Wow. So yeah, those are the desktops. They've also got some new laptops, or actually just one new laptop, the M170. Oh, gotta hit the cough button there. So the M170, starting at $2,699, 17-inch screen, 2 gigahertz with a 2.26 gigahertz option, both Pentium M processors. And with this new addition or new additions to the lineup, Dell is hoping to appeal to gaming and entertainment markets, and most specifically consumers with home networks. They've added some new networking features here, and hoping to target most high-end computer customers that probably would have a home network or a wireless network, and various maybe DVD players or DVRs or stuff connected to that that could go along with the entertainment aspect of that. So, yeah, new computers from Dell. Interesting. Just giving you the specs there. But even more interesting is Real Networks' agreement with Singular to service their new mobile TV service. Yeah, Singular is going to use Real's new Helix online TV service to stream video content to mobile phones. Now, of course, companies have been streaming video content to mobile phones for quite a while now, and Singular actually already has a service, but the people that are using Real's services right now to stream mobile content, which includes Sprint, Nextel, and Singular, are currently using a RTV. Yeah, RTV. It's an older service, and Real says Helix Online TV is, quote, much bigger in scope. That is according to a Real Networks executive vice president, John Giamatteo. Singular's new video functionality should be available to subscribers by the end of the year, if all goes as planned. So, very vague on what actually is happening here. It's basically an upgrade. Singular is apparently doing it before Sprint and Nextel get a chance, probably to compete with Verizon's new, what is it? The, VCast? No, oh, come on, why am I forgetting that? Yeah, I think it's VCast. Anyway, Verizon's new, yes, it is VCast, just looked it up. Verizon's new video streaming service that they just released this year, actually. Yeah, so video to mobile phones, not really something I think is that going to be that big anytime in the near future, because right now, you know, you got to consider, a phone has like a 1 to 2 inch screen. Nobody really wants to watch video on that, especially for the kind of prices that the cellular phone companies are charging for these services. So, yeah, I mean, it's an initiative for the future, but not something I would necessarily recommend subscribing to now. If you want mobile video, get like a new iRiver and get something like iPodder X or iPodder Lemon that can download videos, download video blogs, vlogs, like Rocket Boom. What are some other ones? There's tons of video blogs. They're, you can actually find them in some podcast directories. There's more and more, but not near as many as there are podcasts, of course. But if you really want mobile video, find stuff like that. Find sites that have BitTorrent downloads of TV episodes, that sort of thing. There's sites that will offer you an RSS feed. You can subscribe to a feed of BitTorrent downloads for a specific TV show and get the new show on your computer every time it comes out. I think Engadget did a how-to on that a little while back. So if you really want video on the go, you know, do something like that. Cell phones, I don't think, are really the best platform for it as of now. Of course, the ultimate platform for it will be the video iPod once Apple gets around to releasing that. You know they've got it in development. You know they've got a prototype somewhere. And actually, iPod Linux, this just came out a couple weeks ago, maybe. iPod Linux released fully functional video and sound on the iPod. The thing is, it's limited to certain formats. Things have to be specially exported, specially encoded for the iPod. But still, a big development there. That's at iPodLinux.org. You can check that out. They've got all sorts of different downloads for different iPods. It actually installs a second operating system on the iPod that when you restart, you can press a key combination, boot into that operating system, and then you're in. It runs Linux on your iPod. So you're in that. You've got extra games, voice recording capabilities, and now videos. So if you really want video on the go, do that, you know, or get an iRiver or something. There's some pretty good deals on iRivers that play video, or wait for the video iPod. That's my recommendation. Okay, so I'll leave you with that, and also leave you with some PodSafe music here. This is from this is from the Larry Steen World Jazz Ensemble. This is Dervishland. So, you can post comments at everythingdigital.org on the website. You can also subscribe to the podcast-only feed at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml. You can also subscribe to the podcast and text news feed at everythingdigital.org/weblog/index.xml, and that is where you get both the MP3 files and the text posts. The other feed is just the MP3 files. My email is alan@everythingdigital.org. My Skype ID is everythingdigital. My AOL Instant Messenger IM name is podcaster. You can call 206-9-THE-EDP or 206-984-3337 and leave an audio comment. You can also actually leave me a voicemail on Skype. I just got the voicemail functionality a little while ago. So other than that, thanks for listening and stay subscribed.